Do you realize that if I relaxed, just sort of let everything go, you know, kind of melted down, I'd become John Gandy. I'd start giving you the time, the temperature, and the West Point school announcements. Oh, yeah, you know, you pick it up and you lay it down. I don't know whether I should tell you the story tonight. It's a sad one, of course. Most stories have a deep undercurrent of human tragedy. A deep undercurrent, of course, that eternal comedy that life is itself. I don't know whether I should tell you the story tonight of the great generator hunt. Would you like to hear that story? Now, of course, you can use the term generator almost the way you use the term Ahab or even Moby Dick. It has many subterranean meanings there. Generate, to create. You don't mind if I get symbolic? Well, all of those of you out there tonight who want me to be symbolic, dynamic, who want me to be cutting and sardonic, would you please raise your hand, please? Let's see, there's one out there in Babylon. All of you out there who wish me to become truly universal tonight, I'm wearing my shades, it's all right. Would you please, John, turn up the gain while I give them my symbolic beard scratching here? Oh, boy, that feels good. Ooh, gee whiz. Look at them run. Of course, you get used to beard lice. But if you're prepared, all of you out there who would like me to be symbolic and hard-hitting, dynamic, and clearly, ironic about our 20th century life, I'll be glad to do it. Raise your hands out there. And those of you who would like to hear the story of the great and sad and feckless generator hunt, would you please raise your hands out there? Well, I can see that I'm confronted only with difficulties on all sides. Just that's it, that's it. That's it, gang. Bring it up there. Bring it up all the way. All the way big. I ain't got nobody. And nobody gives a good doggone about me. I ain't got nobody. And nobody cares for me. Oh, you're nothing but old rotten, stinky, crummy listeners. And I know how you are. You'll split and not even give me a backward glance. You'll leave, you'll clear out, and one day you won't love me no more. And where'll I be? Where'll I be? Well, all right, let's go. Hi. Hey, da 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 da. And nobody gives you know what for me. I know. And you do know what, don't you? Hey, da 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 da. All right. See, that shows you I can be as feckless as the next. I've had a good feck in a long time. Well, you'll be around fighting our way through the undergrowth. Gee whiz, it's getting... Anybody out there? Would you got the money? You got the money button there, please? Would you please hit it while we're still on here? Here, hit it, huh?
Light up the kent, you got a good thing going.
Good taste, real, real mild.
Good tobacco.
Oh, so mellow. Vintage tobaccos, flavor blended to the peak of enjoyment, and the Kent filter for extra good taste.
Light up a Kent, you got a good thing going.
Kent is the one cigarette for everyone who smokes.
Light up a Kent, you got a good thing going. Light up a Kent for real good taste. Light up a Kent, you got a good thing going. Good tobaccos, the Kent filter for good taste going when you light up a Kent. A good thing going when you light up a Kent. Light up a Kent.
Pow, pow, tee, too, too, wow, tee, wow.
Oh, I got nobody, and nobody cares for me, razzmatazz. I... Well, you know, it's midweek. It doesn't make any difference. I can be a Simba. I'll tell you. I'm honest with you. If you're willing to hear the story, if you want to hear the story of the great generator hunt, you want to hear that story? Well, you know, sometimes you begin to realize that the vast percentage of people aren't up to accepting or even standing up to realism. You know? I don't know whether I should tell you this story or not. It's like the time that I drank a whole bottle of Castore at the age of 9. And, well, what's the matter? Castore is all right. It's Castore. Say, listen, I'd like to have a show. Some night I'd like to do a radio show. I'd come on the air one night and have some really great sponsors. I can think of some great ones. Like, for example, wouldn't it be great to have Sensen as a sponsor? Brought to you by Sensen. I'd like to also have a show where I have nothing but that kind of sponsor. For example, if I had Big Yank striped overalls with the bib that lasts. I'd like to have one, and also I'd have to have a commercial that is for 8-hour cut plug tobacco. It's the plug that spits straight. It's the one that has a high specific gravity, and when it lays out there, it lays out and you can spit it against the wind. Just like that. It's the tobacco chewer's tobacco. Oh, I can think of all kinds of great commercials. How would you like to, me to come on some night sponsored by Blackjack Chewing Gum? I can think of several others. Tootsie Roll. How about Big Indian Work Gloves? Big Indian Work Gloves. Look for the Big Red Indian on the palm. Big Red Indian Work Gloves. Guaranteed to be fireproof, heatproof, and wearproof. Will not ravel at the seams, will not pull out at the wrist. Big Indian Work Gloves. Ask for them. Look for the Big Indian with the big red nose on the back. Oh, I think people would love it. If you could go out and get all the little things that you see in the store, you know, that nobody ever thinks of there. Like, you could get Mother Appleby's clothespins. Or have you ever seen Mother Appleby's clothespin made from the purest birch? Well, they're fine clothespins. Will not roll either. They got a flat side. They don't roll. You won't fall on your you-know-what. We're not running around the basement stepping on the clothespins. And they break with a nice, satisfying crunch. Mother Appleby's clothespins. Well, that's a good product. I can think of several others. Let's see. How about Heine's Work Socks? Have you ever tried Heine's Work Socks that hold the ankle snugly and are fireproof? I think New Yorkers would be delighted to hear about a fireproof work sock. But you can wear it down there at the Four Seasons. You flip your leg up over the other leg, you know, and there are your Heine's Work Socks with the distinctive red clocking on the side there. It says Heine's on it. It spells them out in letters there. Well, these things. Well, of course, you know, it's not easy. I see Philadelphia's continuing. For those of you who want me to be sardonic and hard-hitting tonight, I see that, you know, Philadelphia in itself is sardonic and hard-hitting just by being Philadelphia. I've lived in Philadelphia. I can speak with some authority. I'll never forget the time I'm riding along the river road there. What is that road there that goes through Fairmount Park? Runs right along the river there. Big, beautiful river there. Every morning, all those nuts are out there rowing in those little boats, 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's foggy, and it's easy. I knew a guy that was lost for 2 years in Fairmount Park, just lost out there. Of course, there's a lot of stuff to see in Fairmount Park under the bushes in certain times of the year, and I'm driving along, well, yeah, violets and little dandelions and stuff, and sure, cigar butts, that's true, there's a lot of those, and I'm driving along. And it's 5 in the morning, some terrible hour, and it's dawn, and whipping along there, and I'm just, you know, you're kind of half with it, and there are a couple of cars ahead of me, and a couple of cars behind me, and I see the car ahead of me, it's a big, fat Plymouth. Great, big, fat back end there, you know, that Plymouth, and he's got his trunk open,
And stuck in the trunk, in this trunk there with the trunk open with a little rope holding it down, is a gigantic 24-inch TV set. Great big staring eye glaring at me, see, and I'm driving behind this guy and we're both going along there. And all of a sudden he hit one of these little kind of humps that you hit in the road there with a manhole cover. And you go, ooh, he goes like that, see. And I see it, and I see the back end of the Plymouth, ooh, and it's one of those springy, you know, real springy type cars. You go, ooh, shung, shung, shung. The back end, you know, it's like a camel laying an egg. You know, it goes, ooh, like that, shung, shung, shung. And the trunk goes, doing, I see that trunk go whipping up like that. That little rope broke. And without any warning, just all of a sudden, poo, I see that TV set go out. That TV set just leaves, makes two big loops in the air, and kind of does a half gainer, you know. And it goes twisting, and so, uh-oh. And I sort of pull up, boom. TV set goes. Well, the guy whips over to the side of the road, and of course, I immediately stop. When you see tragedy like that, you stop. And I stopped, and the guy behind me stopped, and there we were at dawn. There were seven of us all standing around there, and there was a TV set laying there in the street, and it was all busted up. And, there was just standing there in silence, just in silence. And one guy finally says, it's dead. It's not breathing. And, we all stood there, and a cop came up. And I had a feeling there for a minute that somebody was going to be charged with homicide. After all, it was a TV set. And in many families, the most important member of the family is a TV set. And when you kill a TV set, you're really killing somebody. Actually, somebody that's far more important than Uncle Fred. And certainly far more important than the grandmother in the house. If you can only get rid of grandmothers like you can get rid of 17-inch TV sets, you'd be better off. By the way, what do people do with old TV sets today? There are certain things you can't throw away in life. Well, I'm not talking about people necessarily. A lot of people I'd like to throw away, but a lot of old ideas. Wouldn't you like to be able to reach into your head and just throw away all the old junk in your head? I mean, the old, you know, like old Kleenex wrappers and junk, old stuff, and you know, stuff in your head. You've got old garbage, old ideas that don't work anymore, and old dreams and old ridiculous fantasies, and you know, like I bet there's a lot of guys out there right now tonight who think they're going to make it. You know, that's silly. Wouldn't you like to just be able to throw all those old ideas out and just learn how to swing, just walk around? Would you please, you know, just walk around and scratch and spit and holler and be ready? Yes, sir. If you could get rid of all that junk like that old dead television set. And you know, it's funny, not one single person has raised his head out of that mire out there with them and said, yes, Shepard. Stand up, Shepard. We do want to hear the story of the great generator hunt. I could take it. Oh, you're not a listener, for crying out loud. You're paid to say yes. Oh, you know that there's a place in town. Now, wait, you think I'm being funny. Now, wait, all of you wait here for a minute. Do you know there's a place in town right now? And I received a large amount of publicity about it, very serious, that has a weekly laugh clinic for people who are members, professional members of audiences for comics. That there is now a profession of laughers. Do you realize how important it is that no comic ever goes into one of these crummy nightclubs, you know, unprotected, with just this rotten material standing between him and defeat? No siree, Bob. Do you know that practically every top comic now hires up to $300 or $400 worth of laugh talent every week when he opens in a new club? Yeah, and these guys go in, look like regular customers, you know. They take out, they get reservations, and they sit there with the watered drink and the B-girls and all that, and they laugh, oh, fantastic. And they have all different styles. You think I'm kidding? And you can go to this laugh clinic for only $1 a session to learn how to be a laugher. And they have auditions. Comics come in and audition right out of the class for guys that want to be laughers. And you think I'm putting you on. I'm sorry, I am not putting you on. If you're interested, I can put you wise to where you can go and earn a couple of bucks laughing it up. But you have to have all kinds of laughs. There's the gasp laugh, for example. And then there's the wry, intelligent, sardonic, satire laugh. Because you don't want to be doing the wrong laugh. I mean, really, if you go, say for example, you go to see a sardonic, hard-hitting social satirist. Well, you don't hit your knee, you know. You don't, that kind of guy who's supposed to be an intelligent comic. You don't hit your knee and knock over your drink, you know. Kick the guy. Yeah, you hear that one, Charlie? Oh! No. That's not at all. And you have to learn different types of laugh. There's the Jackie Gleason or the true slob laugh. Anybody who can laugh week after week at the same joke that Jackie Gleason tells, the same one joke every week, this is a true slob. And it's not easy. You've got to... Speaking of slobs, this is WOR AM and FM New York. Hit the button again, would you please, John? Hit it.
Miller High Life in Poppin' Pour cans. Distinctive Miller High Life in Poppin' Pour cans. Just pop and pour Miller High Life, the champagne of bottled beer. No opener needed. And inside every can, enjoy the hearty yet light goodness of Miller High Life. Brewed from a century-old recipe, only in Milwaukee. Miller High Life always gives you that perfect taste in beer every time. Always a bright, clear taste. Unequaled, unquestioned, unchanging. Now you can enjoy refreshing Miller High Life in Pop and Pour cans. Pop and Pour Miller High Life. Always sparkling, flavorful, distinctive. Now in Pop and Pour cans.
I ain't got nobody popping pour cans. Isn't that fun? Certainly funsville. I wonder if it's a good beer, though. What's Miller? Yeah, it's a good beer. It's too bad they get hung on those cans, though. You know, boy, I'll tell you, you know that I've grown two extra thumbs since they brought out those pop and pour cans. I know one guy that has a special stainless steel thumb case that he uses. It puts it on the thumb, you know. Yeah. Have you ever tried to open one of those things? Maybe this is an idea that the WCTU has put over on the beer drinking public. I've known guys that have given up beer entirely because of the pop and pour cans. Can't open them. Just can't unless you want to bust all your fingernails. I know one guy that said, oh, terribly ravel your skeleton, get your knees out of joint and everything else trying to open one of those. I think the WCTU is working its ways in a wondrous way these days. Oh, you don't know who the WCTU is? It's a big rock and roll station in Jersey. Oh, you know that. Of course you do. It's your friendly station. Speaking of friends, we've had an overwhelming response. One guy called who wanted to hear the Great Generator Hunt. Of course, this is a masculine story, and I don't know whether or not women are prepared. You want to hear about what happened in Philly? I see a news item says a wrecking ball, the kind that swings from a crane to demolish buildings, has been stolen from a supply company in Upper Darby. It weighed 2 tons, was pear-shaped, and made out of pig iron. Did you read about that? They stole this wrecking ball. Can you imagine trying to hawk it? Yeah, well, I heard a terrible story about stealing. It is a true story. Bruce came to me here before. Bruce told me this story. A friend of his, this actually happened. This is not an invented story. It's one of the most sickening. You want to hear a sickening story? It's one of the most sickening stories I ever heard in my life. This lady, who is a friend of Bruce's, and she had this elderly dog. One day the poor dog passed on, and there she was. She got a dead dog on her hands, saying she didn't know what to do. She lives in an apartment. And so she called the ASCPA, is it? ASPCA? ASPCA? She called them, and they said, well, we just can't come out there to get it. You'll have to bring it in. And we will take care of it from that time on. And so she said, well, how do I do that? I said, well, bring it in. That's it. And so she figured out how she could bring it in. And she got herself a suitcase, one of these, plastic suitcases. And she put the dog in. And she was waiting for the subway or something. The bus. That's right. She's waiting for the bus. And she's standing there with this bag in her hand. And this guy comes along and says, madam, that's an awfully heavy-looking bag. It was a big dog. She says, yeah, she had a big dog. And he says, that's an awfully heavy-looking bag there. Do you mind if can I help you carry it there? And she says, why, no, that's wonderful. And he takes the bag, and with that son of a gun turns and runs down the street. He just took off like a bird. He turned right and was gone. And she just stood there with her mouth hanging open, and then all of a sudden they hit her. What a fantastic moment there's going to be in about 15 minutes. Isn't that an awful story? That's a true one, boy, too. And And Bruce told me what happened to her and everything. He said, if you don't believe it, you can call her. I said, well, did she report it to the police? And he said, no. She's afraid they'd catch the guy and bring it back. Gee, I'm awful tonight. A terrible thing. Speaking of... That reminds me, while we're on the subject, don't worry, I'll tell the story of the great generator hunt. But before I do that, in response to an endless number of just absolutely hysterical requests, just impossible, I cannot no longer, you know, for I have always, as you know, I have always steered my own ship. Absolutely. I refuse to tolerate that, give in to the clamor of the public out there. But just once in a while, you've just got, when the demand is so tremendous, when the clamor rises to the point where you just can't escape it, then you give in. So I'll have to give in response to an endless number of clamoring fans. I'll have to do it again. After you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there ain't no denying. You'll feel blue. Oh, baby, you're going to yell and holler. You're going to feel sad. Why? You're going to miss the greatest man that you've ever had. There'll come a time, and don't forget it. There'll come a time, ba-ba-boo-ba, when you'll regret it. Someday when you're lonely, oh, your heart's going to, it's going to bust like mine, and you're going to want me only. After you've gone, after you've gone away, all together, gang, let's go. Come on, pick it up. Ba, 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 ba. After you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there's no denying. You'll feel blue, you'll feel sad. You're gonna miss the greatest man you ever had. Oh, there'll come a time, and baby, don't you forget it. There'll come a time, oh, you're gonna regret it. Someday when you're lonely, your heart's gonna break like mine. Oh, I'm weeping and yelling, oh, boy, am I sad. You're gonna want me only. It's gonna be too late, baby. After you've gone away, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. After you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there's no denying. You feel blue, you feel sad. Okay. Oh, man. That's right. When you raise Cain, tell him it was Ed Fitzgerald you heard singing. Okay. But, oh, well, you just can't, you can't put it off too long. And we have here a couple of commercials for you commercial fans out there. And the first one has to do with a magnificent French automobile named the Peugeot. And I'm going to read to you just the copy points, and they are facts. One of the 7 best-made cars in the world, quoting J.R. Bond, the Road and Track editor, famous magazine. It ranks with the Rolls, Mercedes, Lancia, Porsche, Lincoln, and Rover. The steel in the Peugeot is twice as thick as that of any ordinary poor mortal car, and the economy is 25 to 30 miles per gallon. Smooth riding, easily sits free, 3 in the back, depends on how friendly they are. Reclining seats in the front, roomy trunk, and the lifespan? Well, the oldest car still running in America is an 1891 Peugeot, in case you're interested. The price of a Peugeot 403 is $22.95. The price of the 404 is about $300 more. And incidentally, the extras are worth up to $350 included in this price. It is a magnificent car. I have owned a Peugeot. I owned one for 5 years. In fact, one of the best cars I ever owned for ordinary road, turnpike type use. Incidentally, it's a great turnpike car. It has an overdrive built right into it. And, it's got a sliding steel roof. You can stand up and drive with your feet, look out on the crowd, yell. And it's got reclining seats. I knew one guy that drove all the way to Trenton, New Jersey with the seat reclined. Just steered with his feet, looked up the clouds and the birds. This is a Peugeot. And if you're thinking of buying a car this spring, by all means, look up the Peugeot. The dealer here in town, they're all over the East, of course. Wonderful service, by the way, on it. The dealer is at Manhattan Imported Cars at 2 East 46. Just off Fifth Avenue. It's right in the heart of the impossible rent district. It is. I don't know how he stands it over there. But I know. I used to own a garage. But nevertheless, this is the Peugeot, and if you'd like to get a magnificent brochure with pictures and chicks and the seats reclined, they show you what you can do with the reclined seats and all that stuff, just send your name and address to Peugeot, P-O-O-J-O-O-O-O-O, whoopee, Peugeot, W-O-R, New York, New York, and I'll send you one of these things, okay? After you've gone. And I'll tell you, I'm a real car nut, and I don't know whether I should tell you about some of my great experiences with cars. Did I ever tell you about the car that I once got, a genuine classic I got a hold of? And this car happened to come in one afternoon. The guy drove in, and I used to have a foreign car dealership, you know, and this guy drove in. He had this magnificent classic of a very rare breed, and there it was. Brilliant midnight blue, pristine, that had cordovan leather upholstery, and it was a true work of hand culture. Just magnificent car. It was built in the mid-1930s, and I looked at that. He looked down at me, and we sat there for a couple of seconds, just looked at each other, and he said, "What do you give me on a trade?" I said, "What'll I give you on a trade?" You know, it's terrible. You can never really realize that many dealers get big eyes for your car. In fact, they wonder why you're such a nut as to come in there and buy one of their cars. You've got what you've got. It's the truth. And I looked at that thing, and I figured what I would have to do would be to give him a little extra, you see, for him to take on one of the junks that we were trying to sell. And I said, let's see. Pretty hard to get rid of this. I walked around. I said, not many guys want anything like this. It's a real drag on the lot there. I mean, sorry, a 1936 Brooklands Whoopi-Mobile in full racing trim. It's not easy to get rid of, you know. We got to keep the lot clear. Sorry. Now, look at that hood strap there, that alligator leather hood strap there. It's a little worn. It's kind of bent. Well, I crawled under it, pretended I knew, I crawled under it, looked at the crankshaft and all that stuff, and then I got up and I said, I'll give you two bills. There was a brief pregnant pause. He says, "Two bills? You mean two G's?" I said, "I mean two bills. 200. He reeled back and he says, $200. I says, $250. Take it or leave it. And I turned around and I says, not many people want a handmade aluminum hammered out chassis that has 47 coats of enamel. Think how terrible it would be every time you drive into a place like that, drive into a parking lot, you spend the whole evening in the show worrying about whether somebody's going to scratch that thing. That's a drag, boy. You can't have that. That's got 47 coats of hand-buffed enamel on it. Ridiculous. And I turned and says, "That's a sad sack. Wow." And I turned around and I walked back into the office there, and I could see the guy sitting in his seat, and he's looking over at this little sneaky car that I'm trying to sell him, the one with the cardboard transmission, see, he's looking over there at it. And they were specially imported. Well, they put them together in Hong Kong, and they were made out of Japanese silk and little things, they stuck together. And they came in a kit, they had a balsa wood frame and all that. And he's looking at this thing, and of course it's very racy looking, see. I knew he would be lucky to get down to the next corner in that thing without having trouble with the rear end. In fact, that car that I was trying to sell had trouble with the rear end when it wasn't even going. It would just sit there and you'd hear the rear end clicking. At night it was discouraging to come into the garage, and there'd be a whole bunch of new ones sitting there. And you could hear the bad transmissions rattling, they're not even moving. I mean, that's the kind of thing to make you think about cars, and so we looked at each other for a couple of minutes there, and finally he says, "Did you say 250? And I said, Yes, $250. With that, he reaches down. They had a big leather pocket on the door inside. See, this is a 1938 type racing type tourer, you know, magnificent car, the kind they've raced at Brooklands and all that stuff. You know, you could just see guys, the 1937 type racing driver, you know, with the white helmet, the big green goggles on, the scarf flying back, you know, had hood straps all over it and big pipes coming out the side. And he says, "Look, I'm going to show you something, Mac." He reaches into the glove compartment or that big pocket. He pulls out a sheaf of things. He says, "I have spent," and he holds this up. He says, "Look, come here, look at this. I have spent over $4,950 on work. I have every itemized bill in the last 17 months on this car. Here, that's how much I've got in this car." I turned and I says, "You see what I mean? You're a nut. $4,700 on this tank." I said, "Do you realize that just shows you what trouble that car is? $4,700 you put in this thing in 17 months, that's trouble, man, with a capital T." I turned around. Of course, this had been a full reconstruction job. And I went back into the office and sat there for a couple minutes there and cooled it. I could see that he was on the hook. You know, a good dealer can tell when the guy's on the hook. There's a certain sweatiness of the brow that they develop, a guy who really wants to buy. And he's looking at our balsa wood special over there, you know, this. And I could see him. He's hungry. And I said, "Well, come on, sit down. Get in. Sit in it. Well, we had this special demonstration model. It had seats that you could sit on. It was a very special one. We didn't sell that one. It was kept on the floor all the time. So it was specially set up so that your knees didn't come around your ears, you know, terrible thing. So he got down in the seats, you know, we had the big bucket seats, and he sat down and wiggled his behind a little bit, you know, sat down. "Go ahead, turn it on. Well, we had this special thing. See, we had taken the motor out of it. Had a rubber band thing that wound up. It was the regular motor. And we took the rubber band motor out of it, and we had put in a real motor. You know, we'd put in a Jaguar XK something, and he turned the key and... you know, and it sounds good. And we had special sound baffles built up in our showroom there, so the sound sounded better and everything. You know, we had it all lit up from the bottom and everything. Boy, you talk about Broadway lighting. I said, "Listen to that power. Listen to that power." I says, "This car weighs only 1,519 pounds. 1,519 soaking wet. It has 722 horsepower." And I says, "This son of a gun, I'll tell you this. A guy's got to be over 21 and prove conclusively that he is self-destructive before we'll even consider him owning this car. This car is 0 to 60, 17 and a half milliseconds. I says, we have to measure the standing quarter mile of this has to be measured on a scope. You can't measure it on a watch. It's got to be measured against the baseline." And he's big eyes, you know, he's looking at me. Well, all I've got to say is that 22 minutes later, he drove out in our special balsa wood model. I could hear him rattling on down the street. And I was the proud owner of a 19, of a fantastic classic. Well, I got into that car, and, you know, I was trying to play it cool. I got in there and had this great big iron key, see, stuck into the dashboard of it. Now I was the owner, you see, big thing. I got in there, well, I eased it into first, you see. I was gonna move it over to the side so I could get it into our backup lane. There, I go, oh, instantly my trained ear detected a transmission with four missing gears. Well, they weren't exactly missing. They had no teeth. Let's put it that way. That son of a gun I knew what he had done. We had a long hill outside of our sales room. That guy had pushed that car to the top of the hill. It was a block and a half away and had coasted in. There I was. What a lemon. Well, I'll tell you this. I called all over the Western world just to get those four gears that I needed to replace in that transmission. I finally gave up when I located a set of two, the first and second gear, in Nairobi. The guy wanted $490 a piece. I located one in Thailand. This was the third gear. This guy said this one had been cast in platinum. He wanted $4,000 for it. I don't have to go any further, do I, friends? Do I? After you've gone. I don't know why I'm telling you the secrets of the skin trade. I shouldn't even be telling you this. Speaking of being skinned, do we have anything else in there, friends? A little whoopee there for the customers out there, for the yahoos. Hit it there. Hello.
Hello, is this Kloppman's Grocery?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
It doesn't sound like Kloppman.
Well, Mr. Kloppman's waiting on a customer.
I'm not a customer?
Oh, yes, ma'am. He'll be right here.
Who has time to wait for Kloppman? You write down my order. I want 2 pounds of sausage.
And 2 pounds of Parks Famous Flavor Sausage. Okay.
What Parks? I didn't say Parks.
Well, you want the best.
I'll wait for Kloppman.
Only Parks Famous Flavor Sausage has such an extravagant blend of spices and seasoning. Such quality. Listen.
Bring home the sausage, be a hero. Yes, bring home the sausage, P-A-R-K-S. Sausage to win ya, sausage that's braver. Up from Virginia, Parks Famous Flavor. Bring home more Parks sausages, Mom.
Listen, you got such a great product. Why are you standing in a little corner grocery store singing on the telephone to a middle-aged housewife?
We love you.
Oh, come on. Don't give me that, Mac. Parks, I'm glad they got rid of that crummy kid. Do you remember that ridiculous... Hey, Parks, this is my... Ooh. Oh, boy. That thing was all over WOR for a while. My teeth were standing on end. I'll tell you, my ears were sweating every time. Hey, Parks, this is my... Ooh. And I hit him in the mouth. Ooh. If there's anything I hate, it's a whiner. Well, it takes one to tell one. Look, I can whine with the next guy. Oh, come on, Mr. Leader, will ya? How's that for a good whine? Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, wow. How do you like that? Would you please give us a whine, please? No whine? All right. Because I think girls really whine much better than men. And men all know that girl whine. You know, when the guy's trying to save $4 on a cab and he wants to walk a block and a half, and they get out and she goes, I'm cold. Oh, doggone. Oh, you want to hit him? You know? Listen to this. Come on. Give me your whine, please. Come on. Give me the cold whine. I'm going to hear the cold whine. We got a great whiner here. Let's hear you rehearse it. Hello. That's there. There. Get on 61504. Okay. All right. Can you hear it? Let's hear your whine. All right. That's very good. Listen.
Oh, gee whiz.
Is that? Let's hear a little one.
Oh, I'm cold.
All right. Let's hear. Oh, can't we take a cab whine? Ooh, that sets my ears like, oh, that makes my teeth itch just to hear, doesn't it, you? Speaking, we've got a couple of commercials. Let's do them here. We've done, how about Leathercraft? Listen, if you've got a pad and you've been looking at that fantastically expensive vinyl stuff all over, and boy, they talk about an arm and a leg, here is something you want to hear about. The Vinyl Fabrics Division of Leather Guild Incorporated, and this outfit sells only through decorators and that, invites the public to come directly to the Leather Guild warehouse for fantastic bargains in odds and ends, closeouts, and discontinued patterns in the finest vinyls made anywhere in the world. This is magnificent stuff. And many of them are now just $1 a yard, and they have a tremendous assortment at $3.90. Now, the warehouse, the Leather Guild warehouse, is at 52 East 21st Street. This is a very limited sale. They do not sell to the public. This is one of those things where you have to buy through decorators and that. And they're selling, these are all closeout stuff, so odds and ends and stuff like that, will be sold at the warehouse during this very limited sale. Now, they're at 52 East 21st Street. They're Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. Thursday night, that's tonight until 8, they're off now, and they're open, Saturday from 9 to 5. Now that's 40 to 50% off the retail prices, and they have a whole warehouse full of this stuff. Leather grains, patent leather, leopard spots, tortoise, damasks, prints, the whole business. Now, that's Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Thursday till 8. Again, the address is 52 East 21st Street, just west of Park Avenue South, okay? It's a good deal. Really is. Get yourself some leopard vinyl upholstery in there. Be an absolute ass. Complete. Holy smokes. Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things. You got to fight life the way it is. You got to accept it the way it is. I mean, in the great bowling game of life, which are you? I'm serious. In the great bowling game of life, what are you? There are, you can either be a ball or a pin. Which are you? Well, I'll tell you this, Dad. If you're up listening to us at this hour on WOR, I do not think you're a Brunswick bulky colander three-holer. I have a suspicion that you've got a little round head and a great big fat bottom, and you're sitting down there at the end of the alley there waiting to get belted right into the cushions. Right down there, and that big old hook is coming right at you every day. You go in there, you know, I'm an old ex-pin boy, and I know the feeling of being a pin. They don't have pin boys anymore. Any of you guys at bowl now with all the automatic machines, I think one of the great life experiences that ever was available to a young man of America growing up in this great wild Thomas Wolfe America was the experience of being hired on as a pin boy. To crouch down there in that little padded cell down there at the end, you know, the pads all around you, and you see those 10 pins sitting out there, and they're outlined. Have you ever watched bowling on TV? You know that shot they take occasionally from behind when you see that ball coming in there? Well, I used to stand right back there with my legs swinging up, back there sweating, that big old curve ball to come right into the 1-3 pocket, boom, and there's a cloud of pins. Bouncing off my shins and the back of my neck, hitting me on the ear. So, you know, there's a lot of things you can learn about life. You want to hear more about the cars? One more story about a car? Well, what car, I will award you the Brass Figlegee in America, what car was built in America that was so little and so rotten that whenever you talk about balsa wood cars, that whenever you got on the street with one of these cars in a good crosswind, from time to time you would take off literally like a kite. Once in a while, they would find one of these cars up in a tree. Guy just got caught in the wind. One night, I am in one of these cars crossing a bridge. Coming out of Cincinnati, I was with another guy, one of the engineers from the radio station, and we're in the little station wagon. And this big wind is howling down the Ohio River coming from Portsmouth, Ohio. Woo! It's howling, and all of a sudden we could feel this little car rocking. Just like that, it's rocking like so. And I said, Johnny, we're going over. He said, oh, come on, come on. What's the matter with you, chicken? And he's sitting there driving. It's going, I said, we're going over. Whoa! The wind got on her. And all of a sudden, up on one wheel she went and spun like a ballet dancer. Just on one wheel. Whoa! Back we went, down on the four wheels. I said, Johnny, the next one's going to get us. He said, oh, come on, sit heavy, that's all. Just sit heavy. Well, we're about 40 feet from the end of the bridge when a big puff of wind hit us. Poo! Whoa! And we settled down like a geranium in the last days. Just over so gently we went on the side. She was only going about 4 miles an hour, which was top speed for this car. Just clunk, it laid there. He says, all right, come on, let's go. It had turned over 4 times with her before. He says, all right, get out, let's go. Turn it back before the gas pours out. We jumped out, we put it back on the wheels, and on we went. I'm so happy that actually happened to me. What was the name of that car, fellow victims? No, it was not a Whippet. It was a what? Now, come on. That's just plain crummy rivalry. We'll let you think about it. Keep your knees loose, and we'll see you tomorrow night, fellow sufferers, fellow yahoos, fellow weeninibs.